have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, begin to clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Yeah. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. This is the day I've got joy. I've got joy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. For many people, achieving their destiny seems to be hindered by a lack of financial resources. I have a friend that worked for several years on a project that she believed was God's will for her to accomplish. While it appeared that the service she was offering had a lot of potential to help a lot of people, she struggled because of limited financial resources to fully launch her vision. As I spoke with her, she talked about her struggles to pay her basic household bills and was in a significant amount of debt. In Luke 16:11, Jesus asks, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" An effective ministry that is blessed by God will only come when we have learned to be faithful in managing what God has already entrusted to us. We must study and meditate on God's word with regard to our finances. This, in conjunction with prayer, will enable you to determine God's will for your life in regard to the money that he has already given you. As you implement God's financial principles, God will provide you with his peace and joy in regard to finances, and you will begin to see the development of an effective ministry. Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." God is waiting for you to develop an effective ministry, but he needs to see your faithfulness first. My friend was waiting for the money to just come to her. She was working hard and couldn't understand why the financial resources eluded her. She thought that working hard on her ministry guaranteed a financial blessing for its success. While hard work is important, we must remember that how we utilize the resources already entrusted to us is just as important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we are told, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Meditate on God's word and ask him to help you to be faithful in managing your finances. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's gospel news. Christopher Dwayne Tomlin, born May 4, 1972. He's an American contemporary Christian music singer, songwriter, and worship leader from Grand Saline, Texas. He sold over 7 million records. He's a member of Passion Conferences and is signed to EMI. Some of his most well-known songs are "How Great Is Our God, Whom Shall I Fear, God of Angel Armies," and his cover of "Good, Good Father." Tomlin has been awarded 23 GMA Dove Awards, a Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Christian Music Album for his 2012 album, And If Our God Is For Us, and 2 RIAA Certified Platinum Albums. Because of his song's popularity in many contemporary churches, Time Magazine stated that he may be the most often sung artist anywhere. Tomlin's 2013 album, Burning Lights, debuted at number 1 on the Billboard Top 200 chart, becoming the 4th CCM album in history to do so. Veteran worship pastor and songwriter John Riddick composes lyrics that speak about redemption and hope. His music's intention is to foment discussion while impacting cross-cultural narratives about differences. He healing, and faith. His style, which weds contemporary gospel, praise, and worship, has registered with several generations of listeners. The live videos from his 2019 debut single, You Keep Hope Alive, for Toby Mac's Goatee label were shot at Nashville's Church of the City and have garnered hundreds of thousands of views, while the track charted at streaming. Originally from Memphis, Tennessee, Reddick is the son of a pastor and church pianist. He is the brother to six siblings, including Janice, a Stellar Award and GMA Dove Award nominated recording artist for Motown Gospel. While he played piano and sang in choirs and youth choirs while in high school, it was in college that Reddick began to flourish. He wrote songs for services and led a contemporary gospel group. Reddick led the worship team for his church in Memphis and eventually made his way to similar roles in Texas. Reddick relocated to Nashville, where he became the worship pastor of Church in the City. In Nashville, he was given opportunities to work on his songwriting skills with internationally renowned artists such as Matt Redman, Tommy Sims, Josh Kerr, and Sheryl Crow. He also toured and recorded as a pianist and backing vocalist with Nashville artists Nicole C. Mullen and Mandisa. As Reddick planned his debut album and co-led worship services in church, he found time to record Glory and Majesty. The track was issued to streaming at the end of January and has led into his debut album. The global coronavirus pandemic put those plans on hold temporarily. Reddick also contributed to the live album You Keep Hope Alive for the Goatee Records quarantine compilation entitled Blessed. New artist Tarian was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, where she has rooted herself in community mentorship, being part of Angel Street in Memphis. Angel Street mentors girls through musical training in areas with limited artistic opportunities while empowering the girls to understand their value, discover their purpose, and become creative leaders. Tarian Bass Woods is an American singer and songwriter. She is known for her role as vocalist in Toby Mac's band, Diverse City. Tarian released her debut album, God With Us, in 2019. The music video has since surpassed 3 million views on YouTube. It was followed by In the Arms, co-written by Tarian and Anthony Skinner, John Riddick and songwriter Jeff Cates, and was produced by Micah Coker and Brian Fowler. Her song, It's You, with Matt Mayer. In addition, Tarian joined Cochran and Poe on the Toby Mac Theater Tour. Her third single, Let Love Lead, was released in February of 2020, followed by You Still Do in May of the same year. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, The Moment, Tasha Cobb-Leonard. 9, Jesus, featuring Leandria Johnson from Tim Bowman Jr. and Faith City. 8, Revival, Jews Judah. 7, Always Peace, Brian Courtney Wilson. 6, All Things, Kirk Franklin. 5, Great God, Demetrius West from Jesus Promoters. 4, Always from Javonta Patton. 3, Daily Bread from Otis Kemp. 2, Feel Alright, Bless, Erica Campbell. And number 1 for the second week in a row, Miracles featuring Pastor Mike Jr. from Kiara Sheard Kelly. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
There we are. Welcome, each and every one of you, to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. I bless God, each and every one of you. It's been a minute since we've been together, but here we are in the presence of Almighty God. Thank you so very much. So much has happened since we've last talked. And before we get into the details of where we've been and what we've done and where God has taken us and all that, Let me welcome in my co-host at this moment, and she hails from the great city of Indianapolis, Indiana, an anointed woman of God, can preach, will teach, and is able to do that which God has called her to do. Come on, let's have a warm welcome for Pastor Anna Henderson. God bless you, Pastor Henderson. How are you?
God bless you, Bishop. I am so glad to be on tonight. Looking forward to the discussion. Amen. Truly, God is good to us. And we are so grateful, amen, to be a part on tonight.
Amen. And while I got you, I'm going to call upon you to look up Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. There are other scriptures we'll get to later. Now, I don't know who else has joined us, but I did invite a few people to come in. So let's find out who else is on the line with us. Is there anybody else that desires to join us or anybody who has gotten the courage to join us today? If you're there, please state your name, where you're from. Going once. Going twice. I guess it's just you and I tonight, Pastor, so that's quite all right. We're already prepared for such a time as we hear somebody coming. Now, who is that, may I ask? Who's clearing their throat? Nobody? Okay. Let me get moving because, I mean, I'm going to try to keep as much as I can the show moving. I do want to say to you, thank you for every one of you that has prayed with us, prayed for us, and stood by us as we had journeyed through and met up. And thank you, Sister Kimmy Robinson. I can actually see your text, so I'm going to sit there and look at the line there as anything else comes up. But, you know, so much has happened. First and foremost, again, our condolences to you, Sister Kimmy Robinson, on the transitioning of the patriarch of your family and your dad, a great man, wonderful person. And I know it was a tumultuous and tumultuous and probably heart-wrenching ordeal for you as you went through that. I don't know if you're able to talk or not. We're not going to force any issues, but if you are, just open your mic and say hello. And if you're not, we do understand. So we know.
I'm glad that you're back. I'm looking forward to a great message.
There she is. Give yourself a hand while you at it. That is our program director, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, a great and awesome woman of God. And like I said, we've been praying for you, praying for the family, and I tried to reach out to Mother on a couple of occasions. I'll get to her. Eventually, she'll answer the phone, and when she does, we'll talk. In the meantime, yours truly, man, where can I start? Well, let's start here. In the month of June, God opened the door for us to do a few things and to go a few places. But the real heavy work came up in the month of July, where on July 19th, many of you know, was my birthday. But July 14th was my 38th year in ministry. I opened the ministry on July 14th, 1986, and my spiritual mother, the late Dr. Maddie Atkinson Darden, overseer, Dr. Maddie Atkinson Darden, who was our overseer, had groomed me specifically for such a time as this, had even spoken into my life way back in the early 90s that God was calling me to be a pastor's pastor. And if any of you know what a pastor's pastor is a bishop, actually. And just last year, on the 23rd of this very same month of July, we have now completed our first year in the bishopric, and I'm just excited for what God is doing, for where he's taking us, and for all that he's about to do with us, through us, and for us. On top of that, my family treated me to an extremely wonderful vacation, first in Barcelona, Spain, where we spent a couple of days. Then we boarded a cruise ship, Virgin Voyages, and if you've never been on that cruise ship, folks, please check it out. You will love it. The one thing I like about this particular cruise ship is the very fact that when I say all expense paid, I've gone on cruise ships, and I'm not going to start naming names, where they charge you $2,000 and $3,000 per person. They charge by the cabin. And that was just so amazing and so wonderful. And we went in and enjoyed the family and myself. For those of you that want to see pictures, you have to go to my Facebook page, Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., and you can experience some of the things we experienced, some of the land. landmarks. We got a chance to go through four different countries and about six or seven different cities. All of this in a 15-day period. But that's not where it stopped at. When we came back, we pulled ourselves together, took a couple of days off, and then just yesterday, we celebrated our ninth year wedding anniversary, my wife and I. And we decided to do something very extravagant. We had always watched the TV show Hell's Kitchen. And so yesterday we decided, we made these reservations 2 or 3 months earlier. We decided to go to Hell's Kitchen, the one in Washington, D.C. When I tell you that place is off the charts, OMG. This place was so amazing. And I bless God for the opportunity my wife and I had to go and spend some time up there. We got a lot of other things coming up, but we'll talk about all that later. Right now, it is time to get into the Word. I want to say welcome to those of you who are on here by way of radio, whether you're on iHeartRadio, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're at Spreaker Radio, to our good friend Jerry Royce. God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for being part of or allowing us to be part of your wonderful family. iTunes, and I believe it's I'm missing one, and I know I am, but it'll come to me. Tune in. That's it, the Tune In app. And thank God for every one of you, those of you by social media, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Facebook Live, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter, wherever you're listening to us or watching us from, we welcome you into this time. Now, Pastor Henderson, that scripture we're going to need comes out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. If you will be so very kind as to begin reading those first six verses for me, I will step back and allow you to do what you know how to do best.
Amen. Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, starting with verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shalt prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good.
Amen. We bless God. And there are other scriptures that we're going to add in as we go forward. Tonight, we're going to talk about your future. Generalized question to each and every one of you that's listening to us tonight. And this actually becomes important because of the very fact that many, for most of us, and those of us who are born again, baptized, blood-washed believers, we understand God's plan and purpose for our life. We recognize the very fact that God is taking us somewhere, that God has prepared a way for us, that we may be able to move forward in the things pertaining to life and godliness. Now, I got to point out, and I'm going to talk to the believer first because I'm going to come back to the unbeliever in about just a few minutes. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are some amazing promises that become available to you. And all you need is the knowledge of what's available and the faith to claim them for yourself. You see, every Christian, every believer has the same opportunity to flourish and to be blessed because of these wonderful promises that God has given to us, but not all of them are. You see, I'm amazed at how some people refuse to simply believe the word of God and refuse to walk in the faith of God to activate the blessing that comes from God. And they claim that they don't have anything to work with, that their shed is empty, that their hands are empty. I don't know why they're making those kinds of comments, but they have to understand that because they think they have nothing to work with, they become unhappy where they are in life, yet they refuse to change. They will not do what the word says to do. The Lord said through the Apostle James that you have not because you ask not. And if you look in James chapter 4, verse 2, you will find that scripture. If somehow, believers, we could just wrap our minds around the fact that everything in this earthly life is the result of an actual spiritual seed that has been released into the atmosphere, and whether that seed is positive or negative, yeah, there are such things as negative seeds, whether you believe it or not. Now, I did learn something, and in a course of study, I found out that scientists are maintaining the fact or maintaining the stance that once a sound wave has been set in motion, that sound wave continues on a never-ending journey. And if we had the sophisticated instruments that we could capture each wave and reproduce it, we'd be able to bring those sounds back at any given point of time. Now, if there is truth to this, then every word we've ever spoken or any word or every word that's been spoken by any person who has ever lived would have the capabilities to be retrieved. So listen, what I'm saying to you is whether you have spoken by faith, whether it's positive or negative, and let me explain that because some people don't understand the fact that you can speak faith in the negative as well as you can in the positive. Here is a biblical principle in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we're talking about the word of God, the manifestation of that which you speak has to come into fruition, because the word of God will not return unto him void. His word shall prosper in anything that it sent out and accomplish in whatever it is set upon. We have to understand that the words you speak are somewhere in the atmosphere waiting for a manifestation, whatever it is you're applying your faith to. Now, somebody said you still didn't explain to me how faith can have a negativity to it. Well, the truth of the matter is you can speak a situation that could be detrimental to your overall growth in Christ. I give you the perfect example. When we read the book of Job, we find out that Job did everything right. He often offered up sacrifices on behalf of his children and other things. But there was one thing that Job did, and it was with his mouth. He said the very thing that I feared. I pray so that the very thing that I fear will not come upon me. And at one point in time, Satan had to use those words, bringing them back to God. And God said to Satan, hast thou not considered my servant Job? And I know I'm doing a little bit of skipping here, but I'm trying to get to it so I can get those who are actually here on the podcast involved in the conversation. God says to Satan, hast thou not considered my servant Job, whom there is none like him in all the earth? Satan responds by saying, yeah, your hands are around here, you're protecting him, but if you lift the hedge from against him, I guarantee you I can get Job to speak against you. God says, do whatever you need to do, but do not touch his life. And so we all know the story of Job. Job lost everything, and Job still held on to his integrity, and Job still held on to his faith. In the end, Job came out with double for his trouble. But I brought that up to say this. Everything in the kingdom, everything in this earth realm, everything in the spirit realm is a seed. It is seed-based. There is nothing you can receive from God without sowing some sort of seed. Now, understand this. When we talk about a seed may be in the form of words spoken to you or spoken by you into the spirit realm. It can also be in the form of money or other things on this earth that you are sowing to bring spiritual truth into manifestation, or manifesting spirit things that are in the spirit into the physical. Prosperity, yes, is a spiritual thing. It is not necessarily an earthly thing. We have to understand how the believer in Christ is empowered to prosper with the blessings as he cultivates the habit of sowing seeds on the earth by way of this life. And this is why it's important for us to become to come before the Lord without any focus or needs on seed. That focus needs to come into the worship of him, because we have to get into the atmosphere. God wants us in the stratosphere, or in his presence, should I say. And if our focus is on worshiping him, it's him alone. And even though he expects us to come before him with the sacrifice of praise, he's looking for us to come before him with worship and adoration and to lift his name up. These also are seeds that have the ability to manifest. God is looking for a way to be the blessing that he can be to you. But if, beloved, if we don't understand how to release the seed, the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And whosoever loveth the fruit there shall eat the fruit thereof. You have to understand that God already knows about our needs before we ever come into his presence with worship. So don't get worried about your needs in his presence. He wants our seeds so as to be able to meet those needs. Now, I do want to go a little bit further, but I want to stop. Pastor Henderson, let me give you an opportunity, a chance to respond, as I've already set it up. The seeds that you are sowing in this day and in this age, your future is relying on the seeds you sow. God already has an expected end for you. God has already set the course for where he wants to take you and what he wants to do through you and how God wants to do it through you. But my question to you is, what are you sowing? What have you to say about that, Pastor Henderson?
Amen. It's so important to know, amen, the importance of a seed. And as you so beautifully said, that when you sow seeds and you're sowing into your destiny, your words become so important, because the word of God is the seed. And as you plant the word of God in your life, it has a return on that word. And so the Bible says that the Lord watches over his word to perform it. So he's going to watch over that seed. He's going to watch over it and make sure that that word becomes fruitful, because we serve a God of fruitfulness, and we serve a God of multiplication and increase and overflow and abundance. And so when we speak and we're using the word as the seed, then it becomes so vitally important that, because we know that there's life in that seed, that we watch we watch our words, because we know that the word will produce a harvest. And I think, as you said it, is that you can either sow positive or negative. So we want to make sure that we're sowing the positive confessions and the promises of the word of God.
I agree with you. Now, sometimes, as I already said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I mention that because sometimes we could be quick with our mouths to make a promise we have no intention to keep. Sometimes we can say things, speaking to our Father in heaven, telling him that there are points in time when we'll say to God, if you get me out of this, then I will do that. And the minute God gets you out of it, all you do is go right back into what you said that you would not go back into. And I need to make you aware of something that's written in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. It says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open. Let me stop right there. Why are we keeping our ears open? So we want to know how to properly sow in the stratosphere. I know the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, talking material things, will be added to us. And we understand that. But the truth of the matter is, when we go in keeping our ears open, because we're listening for the Spirit of God to share with us whatever it is that we have need of. When we enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Why do you think Solomon wrote that right there? Why do you think Solomon made that particular comment? Sometimes we got our mouth open and our ears closed. We can't hear God. We claim that we hear the voice of the good shepherd, and we said the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Yet the enemy will try to speak to us in a fast, rash situation and try to get us to move on something that God never one time told us to do. And so instead of walking with God, we're trying to run ahead of God, and then we make shipwreck of our faith, or we mess up a situation that God had set up specifically for us, and not just us, but others like us and those who are in our stratosphere, to prosper from. So when you go into the house of God, according to King Solomon, keep your ears open. Listen for his voice. Close your mouth. God don't need to hear you talk until it is time. Here's what the rest of verse 1 says. It says, it's evil to make mindless offerings to God. Remember I said just a few minutes ago, Pastor Henderson, about opening your mouth and promising God something you have no intention to do or no intention to keep? And many of us have done it. Come on, people. Mm-hmm. Let's just be real about this thing. Mm-hmm. God, do this for me, and I promise you, I will never do that again. God, take me here, and I promise you, I'll never go there again. We take making God, and see, what you got to understand is the word tells us to be, do not make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters to God. That is to say, trying to make deals with God, trying to act like God might be a blackjack table or a roulette wheel or something like that. God is none of that. God is in heaven. We're here on earth. So we got to learn how to let our words be few. Here's the key to that whole thing, and it's in verse 3. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words makes you a fool. What do you got to say to that, Pastor?
Too many words. I think, as you were saying before, is that you can have too much conversation going on that you kind of miss really what's really important and what should be going mm-hmm. on. And sometimes when you start saying a whole lot and you're not allowing God to speak to your heart. And
right.
also, you don't want to make any hasty, like you said, you don't want to make promises to God only because of your situation, because then it's not really real. And God wants our heart to be turned toward him. He doesn't want us just to
Amen.
Have words. He wants our heart
Amen.
To be connected to the words that we say. And so many
Amen.
Times we say words and we think words don't matter, but words matter to God, and they matter to our life, because God understands and knows that words have creative power. And so he wants us to be wise, and he wants us to have an understanding that it's so important what we say out of our mouth.
Uh-huh. I agree with you there. And I know, Dr. Kimmy, I don't know if you want to be in on the conversation, so let me give you opportunity and chance. Is there anything you want to add to it or anything you want to say while you're here with us? I don't want you to just sit there as a producer and not have at least something to say in this conversation. So let's open the mic for you, Dr. Kimmy, and let's listen to you for a split second. Anything you want to add to
what?
It?
I wish I could, but I have noise in my house. So
don't worry about
basically,
it. Go ahead.
I would just say just continue on the faith in Jesus Christ and keeping his laws, and he will show you the way. I mean, never for God has been the best time in my life. So I'm having so
All
much
right.
fun. Yes, I noticed
well,
that. Yes.
Well, you know, and I want to kind of tack on. I understand that. But I often why is it? Go, you about to say something, Pastor Henderson? I just wanted to understand, why is it that we can't spot the enemy scare tactics? Why is it that we allow the enemy to push us into doubt and unbelief and casting doubt upon the living word of God? Don't you understand that it is the enemy's job to make sure you mess up every opportunity that God presents to you by keeping you in what I'm going to call fear mode? A lot of people don't understand what fear mode is. The enemy uses the fear of a need. You know, he uses the fear of a need ever being met by God to cripple the faith of many believers as they're sowing seeds before God. So as to they can't reap a harvest because they keep destroying the crop. I have to say, every faith-filled confession you make before God gets challenged by the enemy or his imps or his cohorts and those that help him. And if you fail to hold on to your confession of faith, you end up sowing the seed, meaning your words of faith, You sow the seed to meet your needs. You sow them mindlessly before the Lord. Instead of sowing seeds of faith, many of us end up sowing our needs by uttering vain-filled seeds or words about those needs before God. Now, I know that sounds a little bit confusing, but stay with me on this. We're having trouble in this day and age. We're having countless restless dreams, and we'll get up in the morning, the Lord showed me this, and the Lord showed me that. Sometimes the Lord is allowing you to see what you're doing to your own faith. Sometimes God is letting you see how you're causing shipwreck in your own faith, and you're sitting there thinking God is giving you a revelation word. God is just simply showing you you. He didn't give you a word for somebody else. He gave you a word for you. Yes, specifically why? That's specifically you. You're having those countless and restless dreams, and, you know, they're not being fulfilled. The dreams are not being fulfilled because you're not sowing seeds toward the fulfillment of that dream. You see, this thing is a twofold process. A, number one, you have to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder to them who diligently seek him, and then you have to walk by faith into that manifested thing that you're praying and asking God for. You have to understand that your dreams are not being fulfilled because the seeds that you're sowing, God has shown you where he wants to take you, and here you are trying to replant what God has already established. If God needed your help, he would have asked you for your help. Since God didn't ask you for your help, my brother, my sister, take your hands off of the pot and let God do the stirring. Y'all know how it was old school mothers. You would not go in mama's pot if she didn't give you permission. If you turned around and even put your hands on the lid before you can get the lid up and let the smoke come out from under the pot, kapow! Mama just got you on the fence. Said, boy, get your hands out my pot. You know, some of y'all went through that. I don't know. I was one of those that went through that. I'm just bringing that out. We have to understand that. You know, when we're sowing dreams, sowing seeds to fulfill our dreams, we have to understand that we're sowing needs. Some people are sowing their needs instead of those seeds of faith that God is looking for. Now, King Solomon continued in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 4 through 7. This is what he says, and this is the NIV version. I really, really need you to pay attention to this. He says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. My brothers and my sisters, whether it's a tithe, whether it's an offering, whatever it is that God said he was going to do, if you make a vow to God to do something, please do not forget to fulfill that vow. Sometimes, and I will be the first to say, because I've done it myself, I talked faster than I should have. I said more than I should have. And then I realized that I was going to fall short. But my job now from that point on is to fulfill that which I have vowed to the Lord. For instance, if I make a vow, and I'm going to use this as an example, and now that I'm thinking about it, I do owe God something. I made a vow to pay a specific amount of money each and every month as a just because seed. And last month, I failed to do it. Now I got to make sure I get it done, not for last month, but also for this month. Because here's what he says in his word in verse 4. He says, he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not. Listen to this. This is verse 5. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. My challenge and question to you is it sinful to tell God or promise God that you're going to do something and then you turn around and the very thing you promised him that you were going to do, you fail to get it done? Think about that for a minute before you answer that. Those of you listening by way of radio, the same thing to you. Did you make a promise to God that you were going to do a certain thing? I encourage you to go do it because God's going to hold you to your word one way or the other. It either cost you a little now or it's going to cost you a whole lot later. Let me finish reading this. He says that do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at you for what you say and destroy the works of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. We've got to learn to release our words with our faith with no intention of drawing back on what we say. What do you think about that, Pastor Henderson?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And that's a whole faith process of believing that when we say something, that we believe that what we say comes from the heart, and we trust God that he's going to bring it to pass. And it's just so important that that word that harvests the fruitfulness of sowing and reaping. It is such a marvelous thing that God has put in the body of Christ. And the Bible lets us know that there will always be seed time and harvest. So the question is to ourselves, what are you sowing? You know, what are you sowing? What are you sowing for? Remembering that your seed goes beyond your present, but your seed goes into your future. So a lot of times people say things like, well, I'm just waiting for my children to graduate. And that's it. You know, that their goal is so small. I'm just waiting for this one event in life to happen. And, you know, and that was all that really mattered. And then nothing else happened after that, because that was really all they sowed for. But to remember that you're sowing for just beyond where you are, but you're sowing into your future. You're sowing into the future of the next generation. So that's why it's so important, is to say things that is going to be fruitful, not just for your present moment, but for your future.
I agree with you. You know, you're talking, the thought comes to mind. There are multiple people out there who all over the world, they care so much about fulfilling the needs or fulfilling their dreams and their visions, but they're not willing to sow into their dream. They're not willing to sow into their vision. They're not willing to sow the necessary seeds. In other words, they lack the desire to invest in the kingdom of God. They're failing to have total, complete trust in the process that God might take them through, whether it's step by step or he might leapfrog you. They fail to realize that really it is God who has given them the natural health to spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, to obtain the wealth, and even to obtain a level of wealth, in this case financially. They find themselves in between a rock and a hard place. You know, there was a story, and I don't want to get too deep into stories, but there was a story of a pastor who once told a story about a member who came to them with a request to retrieve his tithe and his offering. Now, remember this. You know, I read to you right there in verse 5, 5b, it says, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. This pastor told the story of a member who actually came to him and said to the pastor that they wanted to retrieve the tithe that she had given to the Lord. And, you know, she's resembling the person that we read about here that Solomon referred to in Scripture. And she wanted to get a tithe back after 2 weeks of giving it so as to make a loan payment that was due. And the pastor was kind of shocked and asked the church member if she thought that she was giving the tithe out to God as a loan. And the lady answers back that she thought that she actually needed some interest back from the church on her tithe, which some people actually think like that, which is kind of weird. But, oh, well, let's move forward. But anyway, the lady goes on to say that she felt, I mean, for some reason, she made it sound like she was doing God a favor and doing the church a favor concerning her tithe. And, you know, what the story goes on to say this. There are people who come up with these crazy ideas. When you make a vow to the Lord, when you, by faith, trust the God of your salvation to manifest whatever it is you need, and I don't want people to get wrapped, tied, and tangled into the physical aspects, meaning money and material things. This includes your time, your talent, as well as your treasure. And that one thing we have to be very much aware of. I mean, Solomon knew two things about investing, because, see, a lot of us don't realize that when we're talking about sowing into our futures, when we're talking about sowing seeds into our future, we're literally talking about investment. And Solomon knew a thing or two about investment. He turned around and he's counseling us by way of the word to be generous, to be ready to give way before you even receive. And, you know, we should be initiate giving because of the fact that eventually we will receive a return. Let me read this to you in the New Living Translation. You read chapter 11, verse 1. Look at what it says. Chapter 11, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes says, send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. Listen to this again. Send your grain across the seas, and in time prophets will flow back to you. Listen, beloved, understand this, that when you give, and I know Luke 6:38 is part of this, and I'm holding that for next week, but let's talk about it a little bit this week. When you talk about Luke 6:38, which simply says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into you. But God is not going to rain it out the sky. God ain't going to grow it up out the ground. God is going to use ordinary men to do some extraordinary things in your life. You might sow financially, but you need help physically. And that help that you need is coming to you because of the very fact that you stood on the word of God. You may turn around and sow physically, and you may reap financially. I can recall multiple times when people needed my help, and I didn't ask them for a single solitary dime, and God would bless them to bless me with exactly what I had need of. And it's kind of wild because, you know, when you need, I'm going to use this. I remember one occasion I needed $140 to take care of some business. And in taking care of this business, I had like toward the end of the day to take care of business. Nonetheless, someone asked me to come assist them with something, and I came and assisted them, knowing full well that I need to go find this money. I got to chase this money down, or at least that's what I was thinking. But I did what I needed to do with them, and it blessed them so much. They gave me $150. To take, you know, for helping them. I said, you don't have to do this. I did not ask for a dime. I promise you, folks, I didn't ask for a dime. They gave me $150. Tell me God does not meet your need. So when you sow your grain, when you sow your seed, that is, across the seas, when you go out there and you become a blessing to other people, when you allow other folks, when God allows you to be a blessing to other people, just remember, it's coming back to you. It will flow back to you. It says if you divide your investments among many places, for you, and it says, but divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk may lie ahead. And here it is in a nutshell. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was in the book of Matthew, I believe it was, where Jesus talked about the parable of the unjust steward. And on the unjust steward, what he did was, he didn't take good care of the books, did not collect the money for his master like he was supposed to. Now the master required that he bring in the money because the master was noticing that some of the money was missing and a lot of things were going undone. So he turned around and began running around to as many people as he could, trying to collect as much as he could, making deals with people. You ain't got but $50, I'll take the $50. You owe me $200. You got $100, I'll take the $100. In other words, he was trying to make up for it. Now a time came where someone that owed him money, he saw this person in the street. I'm paraphrasing it, y'all. I'm not going through it in detail. He saw this person in the street. And do you not know this unjust steward went up to that individual and turned around and said, give me my money or I'm going to have you arrested. The guy says, I'm going to need a little bit more time to get your money. He said, that's not good enough. He had the guy arrested and put in jail. When his master heard about it, or I should say when the king heard about it, the king called him. Did I not forgive you for the debt that you owed me, and yet you threw this guy in jail? He had him thrown into the uttermost parts of the jail. Now, here's the moral to that entire story. You learn how to be generous as much as you can, and if they are not able to pay you back, count it as a loss. Now, you don't want to hear that part, but you need to hear that part, and the reason why is because what might be your loss physically, what you lose physically, God gives back to you spiritually. And in so many ways, what you might lose physically, it may come back to you sevenfold. I've had that happen to me where I've given out monies, expecting them back, and the monies didn't come back. I had to let it go. I didn't even chase the person for it. But when I needed it, it showed up in abundance. Let's go just a little bit further, verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to close this portion for today because I'm only going to try to be an hour. I thank God for all of you that are spending time with me. God bless you, Talitha. Good to see you, my dear sister. Love you with the love of the Lord. Jackie Menendez, bless you, my dear sister. Thank you. Texas and Connecticut are in the house, and there are others here. But now listen to what verse 3 says. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. When a tree falls north or south, east or west, to the area that whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Now, that has some major significant meaning to it. Here it is in a nutshell. When clouds are heavy, when it's time for the rain to empty out of the clouds, the rains have to come down. There's no doubt about it. There's X amount of rain or moisture that a cloud can hold before it has to release rainfall. Sometimes we see heavy rain. Sometimes we see light rain. It depends on how heavy that cloud is. What does that mean for you and I? When God loads us with benefits, he's expecting you to empty out. That's all it really means. You know, and it says that whether a tree falls north or south, where it stays, it stays where it falls. We can easily understand that. That's easy to understand. And all that's simply saying is wherever God is using you to sow, stay in that area and let God use you. Pastor Henderson, is there something else you want to add before we bring this to a close?
No, you so beautifully, amen, discussed that. And we have more to talk about it on next time, amen, because this is such a pertinent subject, amen, about the sowing and the reaping. And God wants us, amen, to have a harvest of blessings and favor and increase, amen. He came that we may have life and that more abundantly. So I want to encourage us, amen, to get in the Word of God and allow God's Word, amen, to become the seed that we sow into our life, into our destiny, knowing that he is a faithful God. Amen, and he will keep his promises.
Amen, amen. The final verse as we come to a close, Sister Kimmy, get our outro ready because we're almost ready to leave the airways. Verse 4 says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they'll never harvest. Here it is right here, folks, and let's sum up today's session right here. If God has assigned you to start a business, if God has placed in your heart to do something special that's going to be first a benefit to you and then next a benefit to others around you, my challenge and question to you is what are you waiting for? If you're waiting for the perfect condition, I've heard people talk about getting married. Well, I can't get married yet because I haven't made enough money. I don't have a house yet. I don't have this and I don't have that. I'm not going to turn around and tell you to get married piss poor broke. Excuse my French, but I got to say it like that. But what I am going to say to you is, are you making preparation for marriage, sir or ma'am? Now, for those of you talking about having children, you're waiting to have all this money and you're looking to do all this stuff. And meanwhile, young ladies, and let's just get real here. I'm sorry, I got to put it plain and simple on the table. Your eggs are diminishing, you know, your ability. And I know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. I already know this, and you know this as well. But your time or your window of opportunity to be blessed in that facet is closing fast. And you're sitting there trying to do all these other things. I'm going to be honest with you. I was excited. And I'm happy even to this day. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. I'm only 65 years old. And even though I got started at an early age, I am so elated at the fact that God blessed me to have children and that my children had children. So now, you know, I've had the pleasure, and some of you may have even seen on my social media, where I've had the privilege and pleasure of housing my great-grandsons. I have 4 of them, and it was a pleasure to have them, to be in their presence. Everybody doesn't get that opportunity. Everybody doesn't get that chance. Those who are waiting for perfect weather, whether it's a job, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's to move to a different part of the country or whatever the case might be, you're waiting for a perfect situation to come by so that you can make that move. You are ever going to move because you're going to be stuck where you are. Those who are watching every cloud, you'll never harvest. You've invested time, effort, and energy into that project that sits before you, and now it's time to reap the harvest, but you're afraid to go reap the harvest because you're afraid you're going to miss something. No, stop the nonsense. If you are going to sow into your future, the seeds of your future, you hold the key to your future. I'm trying to make you understand that your future lies in the seeds you sow. So as we close tonight, I ask you this question again. What are you sowing? I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr., along with Pastor Anna Henderson. Excuse me, Pastor Henderson. I'm so sorry. But we thank God for you being here with us today. We bless God for you spending time with us. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, as we present another exciting episode of Open Mic with the Bishop and Company. For Open Mic, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard saying, may the peace of God continuously be yours. You guys have a great night. Sister Kimmy Kim, the ball is in your court.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.